January 1st, 2017. The Australian Presbyterian Bible Church presenting Christ Without Compromise, the Bible Without Qualification, and today we have a triple alliance: the Lord's Day, New Year's Day, and the Day of Rest. This is the Lord's Day in the special sense it was on such a day that his resurrection occurred. The resurrection of the days of this world come with a new heaven and new earth after the millennium. But for the present, we're coming near the verge of history as it gets nearer the pit. And then on the other side, the beauties of renewal. But first, the title of the sermon is Eye Has Not Seen, Nor Ear Heard. Peace prepares and faith awaits. The meaning of that heading is this. In the scripture, as Paul presents it, eye hasn't seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. It's looking at the astounding grace, the tremendous wonder of the God who, if you open your eyes just a little bit and take a peep occasionally, is shown in splendor unmatchable, majesty unthinkable, glory, and to establish a permanent place in the heart for admiration and for rejoicing and worship. With that in mind, in the midst of a world which is marring and trying to marginalize the Master, if not to kill him again in their hearts, peace is prepared, but not by this world. For it, forged in it, when the Messiah returns to present it. And faith awaits. This is personal. It knows it. It looks for it. It's waiting for it. And our particular place of reference for this morning is Micah 4 to 6, mainly Micah 4. So let us turn to Micah chapter 4. Few things I'd like to notice before we proceed further with the exposition. Verse 1, these words I particularly want to refer to. The mountain of the Lord's health shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. And then again, peoples shall flow to it. Notice peoples. In other words, there is to be a particular manifestation of the Lord when he comes to rule the earth, so that there will be an exaltation of it, of himself, that is of mountainous proportions and marvelous dimensions, and it shall be established above the hills. People shall come there. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Israel. He will teach us his ways. For out of Zion the Lord shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And so now we have the Lord himself manifesting himself through the mountains, and he will teach us his ways. Many nations. This is a terrestrial phenomenon. This is a worldwide event. This is a total use of some of the former things, such as Jerusalem, such as the place where Christ died. Some people seem to forget that. They think, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the Jews, who are they? We are more important. And that sort of very humble, gentilic sort of statement. But you know, the burial place of the Lord and the resurrection place of the Lord is, don't you think, really slightly special? You visit a grave on earth. We used to with my grandmother for years. Present flowers. But this is the place of the triumph of the resurrection as well, and moreover the site of the atonement. Therefore, indeed, mountainous will be the presence of the Lord as he uses these former things to his glory. He himself will become the mountain that will fill the earth. And all that a temple could provide, he will provide more fully. I love this one. Verse 3. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation. Oh, for that day. I've been reading about the Australians in the famous battles, enormous, pivotal battles in World War I at Villers Bretonneux. The most remarkable book of 600 odd pages about it. Learning war, the initial tanks, their movement crushing the people in the trenches beneath their tracks. The howlings and the wailings and the bravery and the endurance. Though some fled. They shall not learn war anymore. Oh, what a word. In Revelation we learn that the nations shall be deceived by the devil no more as they escape from this warlike business. Now, there is in carnal man a tendency to want to be the first and want to be the best. And in the nations. But when the evolutionary myth was unwound as though everything came from nothing and there are buckets of magnificent inventiveness available on all sides to get multiply disciplined systems working together at one, when you get this sort of myth, and it was predicted, of course, it would have myths, well, what can you expect? The nations now want to be the most advanced, the most advanced, the most glorious, the most remarkable, the one which will justly rule all the others. And other utter claptrap, pride, arrogance, foolishness, intemperance, and war-mongering folly. It'll be lovely when the nations don't learn, helped by this nonsense, but not from that alone, to make war anymore. Neither shall they lift up sword against nation. As I was reading about the attacks on the trenches and how tremendously remarkable the Australians were as some were failing, they'd come into the trenches and there'd be heavy work with the bayonets. Tremendous work, like sword play, where bodies, instead of meeting the other sword, as in a duel, are the recipients. I say, nation shall not lift up sword against nation is pure bliss to hear. But they shall eat, each one sit under his fig tree. Verse 4. All people walk each in the name of his God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. That's one of the advantages of worshipping the Eternal. Worship the Eternal God. When you're with Him, no change. Eternity, all stops leading to eternity, doesn't stop. Beautiful. And it goes on to speak of the Lord's equity, concern for the weak. And it goes on in verse 7 to add, the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from now on. And you, O tower of the flock. Apparently there was a place which was a tower where the sheep could gather. That is referred to as, into you shall it come, the former dominion shall come. Now the tower of the flock was apparently a well-known citadel and site within Jerusalem. And of course by metonymy it is able to stand for Jerusalem. And to you it shall come, the former dominion. Now, if you are speaking to people, as Micah has been doing in verse 3, and telling them in detail their sins as a nation, their spiritual sins, and then go on to talk of the former dominion, there can be no rational doubt that this is a reference to the Jews getting back to their former dominion, which was considerable. When the Lord in Genesis 17, 7 and 8, we read, gave them that land generation to generation and so on. And when you read in Romans 11 that the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance, and when you read in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel continually the details of the return, the reasons for the return, and the definition of that to which they return. And when you look here, you realize Israel will regain its place. Now, some go to an extreme. They then say, Israel will rule, and the world will have Jews, and people say, oh, no, no. No, that is a terrible mistake. Israel will resume its place. What would you expect? That God would say that they'll have it generation to generation and then they won't? Is God to be made a man who said, no, I made a mistake then? But if you look at Isaiah 30, you find that the Jews are by no means to be exalted. They are to be restored. Like anyone else. You get that emphasized in Isaiah 19, where they're seen as amongst other nations. In their place. That is not in the place of other nations, but in the place which, like other nations, is theirs. Look at Isaiah 30. Verse 8, now go and write it before them on a tablet and note it on a scroll, that it may be for time to come, forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord. You say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us. Write things, speak to us, smooth things. Doesn't that sound as if it was taken from a newspaper today? Speak unto us smooth things. That boys smooth themselves into girls and vice, with emphasis on vice versa. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. The DNA does not agree. These are not facts. They are therefore fictions. Get out of the way, it goes on, characterizing the way the false prophets were speaking to Israel at that time. Turn aside from the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us, exactly as in Australia increasingly. Those who wish to make empty and vain announcements which people seem to follow as though they were sort of flocculent precipitate coming down in clouds in the test tube for no particular obvious reason, but that's just to come stupid. Cause God Almighty to cease from us. Let us review the Constitution. Let us be a secular state. As we get rid of the royalty, let's get rid of what the royalty was royal for. A Christian Protestant nation it was, as a matter of fact, at least in its formal proceedings. Just like today. But this is referring, however, in Isaiah 30, because you despise this word, and so forth, you are to be broken like a potter's vessel. Therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. So, write it forever and ever. The Jews are not to be restored as the leaders, they are not to be the martinets, were not to be turned into a theocracy under the Jews. That's nonsense. But the Jews are to be returned to their place. Why is it that people in theology seem so often, and science where it meets religion is no better, has to go to an extreme, cannot be content with what is there? So we turn back to Micah 4. Even the former dominion shall come. Now why do you cry aloud? Is there no king in your midst? And then it goes on to speak of the time when, verse 11, it'll all be over. The punishment, the problems, the powers that assassinate, it'll be over. Verse 11, now also many nations have gathered against you. That's topical, isn't it? For January the 1st, 2017, with Obama having skedaddled, promising that he would look after Israel, that they should not attack and bomb the Iranian atomic preparations. I'll look after you. Then joining with the genocidally inclined Iran, and then dumping Israel so that it all before 1967 is all that is left. Of the promised land, all of Palestine, including what was given to Jordan, is breached. That was to come. Now it can all go, all that which they had. Thank you, Mr. Obama. Thank you for your kindness. But the point is that while there will now be much trumpeting about changes in a little while, many nations are indeed gathered against them, and there are many who would like to hack them into bits. Iran is helping with Hamas and Hezbollah, we learn. And on top of Hamas and Hezbollah, there is Iran itself. Not to mention Putin just next door, near the Golan Heights, who's interested with Turkey, a Muslim nation, on what he may be able to gain, I was going to say, scrounge from Syria, such as a Mediterranean port. Putin, who is supporting the president who supports the report of the port, to be sustained for Mr. Putin. Many nations, the point is here, will be gathered against, and this is the current state, who say, let her be defiled, and let her eye look upon Zion. Yes, 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 that's the way they're speaking. Don't you think that you can have this and that? Says Mr. Kerry, Secretary of State, there's a terrible thing that you're doing. You can't be doing that, taking on from Hillary Clinton when she was Secretary of State. You can't be building in there, in Jerusalem. What do you think this is? How are you going to have a two-state solution? Jerusalem for everybody. What? This is ridiculous. Mr. Kerry presumably has heard of the Bible. He's presumably heard of Zionism. He's heard of people, I suppose, who value their heritage. I would have thought the United States would register in his mind in that respect. And he would be realizing that there are some people, they happen to be called Jews, who value their heritage, which they possessed for so many hundred years. One would presume, therefore, that assuming that Israel is wrong, and that therefore is being stupid, is not very wise. If you've got two people contesting something, and you say, because this fellow believes this ridiculous rubbish and is wrong, therefore he should be acting differently. Has it not occurred that he may be right? That when God wrote that this was for the Jews, he meant it? When he wrote in Zechariah 12 that there would be people assaulting Israel, and that Israel would be given amazing power and would win the victories which have now happened, that Jerusalem would be divided into two, and then overcoming would be the attackers? Does it not occur to him that that is not a provision for his idea? But the Jews, to some extent at least, are pursuing it themselves. And I would remind all like him, when God is for you, who shall be against you? End of story. Wait and see. But they do not know the thoughts of the Lord, says the Lord, nor do they understand his counsel. That's what I've been saying here in detail, applying verse 12. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I'll make your horn iron, and I'll make your hoofs bronze. And so we have this presentation of the restoration of peace. The conquest and the context of peace on God's, don't leave that one out, remember, God, remember, right? When you're looking at Israel and the Palestinians, don't forget the third party, will you? His name? God, right? Alright, we've got that kid. So, when this happens, conquest and context of peace. If you go up to Micah 7, you'll see great detail about God's overwhelming power in the interests of a closely defined Israel against the nations which come ready to destroy it. And those nations, you could almost say, are destroyed. I mean, just take a couple of verses before we proceed. At the end of chapter 7, which goes into the detail on that particular issue. Their ears shall be deaf, he says, of those whom the Lord will afflict. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall crawl from their holes like snakes of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear because of you. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity? Yes, whether for Jew or Gentile, there is one God. There is one pardon for iniquity. There is one place of sacrifice. That's the importance of Jerusalem, not least, isn't it? Where Christ was crucified and triumphant over the death which is an affliction to all humanity, exhibited the fact. There is the historical action. There is the continuing display. And there is the God who pardons iniquity, who doesn't stay angry forever. As it says in Colossians, having made peace by the blood of the cross, he would have all reconciled. Jew, Gentile, anybody. In heaven or on earth. So there's this great peace. The fact that the Jews were used in the Old Testament, presented the good part of the Bible in the process and made their own mistakes, doesn't alter anything. God has said it. God has done it. God has corrected. God has his own schedule for resolution, and it's happening before our eyes. It also means that the restoration of Israel will be complex and complete. It means that the dismantling of the methods of war and the deceit of the devil, as in Revelation, are part of the negative side. I mean, who wants the devil? I imagine that if that remark were addressed to the billions in this world, millions would say, we do. I imagine that. Not just devil worshippers, but those who want him, though under another name. They want a new order. They want their order. They want either no God or some suitably tailored God. No, he will do what he's told, of course. Man, the inhumane monster with his human racism, elevating himself as an idol to be worshipped. That is what is foretold, that type of thing. But as you read in 2 Thessalonians 2, as he parades this Antichrist, he shall be stricken. Like lightning with the breath of the Lord's mouth, he shall be finished. I mean, that's what happens. It is therefore with considerable joy that one reads that in Britain, Miss May, the Prime Minister, is making it clear that she agrees with what is apparently a statement once made, but not now, by the United Nations. That Israel is to be properly honoured. They are not to be subjected to all kinds of uncivil abuse and ludicrous distortions. In particular, it is not to be said that the Jews are racist because they are Zionist. It is not to be said that the Jews are exercising some form of racism because they want to have a nation for themselves. That, to my delight and amazement, is specifically shown in the document she wishes to adopt, and presumably will, is forbidden. It is an expression of odium. So we're glad to see things of this character. Glad to see there's some relief. Glad to see that Netanyahu is still building in the capital of Jerusalem, as declared in 1980. It is good to see that the Jerusalem, which will abide and in which God will abide and which will be part of what God will ensure continues, is not going to be turned into an everlasting secularism in which man shows his might over the Word of God and the people of God. And Israel can jolly well have a population explosion of atoms of Arabs, so that even if they get Jerusalem by democracy, it won't be theirs. They'll be voted out of office even if they have it. However, about three quarters of Israel seems to be Jewish, and about three quarters of Jerusalem. Things that I didn't notice from Kerry. And the Lord has his own ways, I mean, you know, suppose you put back the 6.5 million Jews that were killed by Hitler, you know? Would that make a difference, perhaps? Could that mean that there'd be more people in Israel? Is it possible? No? 6.5 million makes a difference? And their children, you know. And their wealth, you know, all that. Don't they matter? God has his own ways. And justice and judgment are part of them. And so in this January the 1st, 2017, we finish by looking at Micah 5. You, Bethlehem, this is not Christmas, that's known. Though little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Who? The eternal God. What's he coming forth to be? Ruler in Israel. Would you like me to repeat that, right? Ruler in Israel. And as we've been seeing from other parts, all nations are involved in this. The Jews don't rule, the Messiah does, but the Jews, and I would suggest this is appropriate for every one of us, are in their place. Get into your place. That is a message to everybody. Your place is not disgrace, or do you want to get into your place as a repentant sinner receiving Jesus Christ as the place of your pardon through his substitutionary death in your place? Or else, if you refuse, acknowledge that God has done everything and you've done everything to block it. Well, if you refuse an ambulance, don't blame the transport system. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonder of your power, the wonder of your word, the wonder of your witness, the wonder of your love, the wonder of your atonement through Jesus Christ, the wonder of the power of your Holy Spirit, who convicts people, as it is predicted he will convict Israel to return, that they may be part of the Messiah's people, the worldwide church of God. Not what calls itself the church, but what abides in his word. And so, O Lord, we thank thee for the wonder that is yours. Help us to worship thee, to witness for thee, and to live for thee, by thee and through thee, by the power of the Spirit, in the name and through the promises of God, not least of which the pardon of iniquity. Comfort you, my people.